When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks. Happy 2022 on this New Year's Eve. On today's podcast, we are featuring part two of our interview with Chaplain Bill Goodrich, the founder of God Cares Ministry. Please enjoy the interview and the music. Thank you very much.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part two of our interview with Chaplain Bill Goodrich.
Well, do you have any stories that you can tell us about some of these people?
Yeah, I would have stories here about not only the residents, but some of the volunteers. Just before the pandemic, we had a Bible study in one of the homes, and it was kind of neat. One of the nurses asked me, "Hey, there's a gentleman up the hall who would like to speak to a minister. Would you go see him?" "Sure, I will." So I went up, and his name was Ed, and I went in. I said, "Hey, I heard you wanted to visit with a minister." And he said, "Well, yeah, actually, I just wanted to speak to somebody intelligent." And I said, "Oh, well, I can help you with the minister part, but I don't know about the rest of your desire." He thought that was kind of fun, and as it turned out, he was a Jewish man who was not a believer. He kind of believed in his Jewish heritage, but really had a very interesting and, what I would say, inaccurate view of even the Jewish faith. He was not a practicing Jew. He just had the, you know, the background as a Jew. Anyway, we became friends. And he was an extremely antagonistic person. The thing is when we go into visit in the homes, our first goal is not to evangelize or convert somebody. Our first and primary goal is to develop a caring friendship.
Good.
Whether or not you accept the Lord or not, I'm your friend to the end.
Right.
And, you know, it's not about me getting another person in the kingdom, although my ultimate goal is, if you are willing and open,
sure,
I will share scripture with you to the place where you take Jesus's hand, and then I will help you grow in your relationship with him. So that's how we teach our volunteers to do that. And there's a way to approach that. Anyway, Ed was pretty antagonistic, and he would ask me a lot of kind of difficult to answer questions. And they were usually on the basis of, yeah, now I'm going to prove you wrong, Bill. And let me ask you this question. And what about this? And what about that? And that stuff doesn't bother me, because I think God has pretty big shoulders and he doesn't worry right. about people not liking him. But I remember saying to him once, you know, Ed, you're asking calculus type questions when you really need to know the basic math questions, answers rather. And he says, well, okay. Then we talked for a bit. This is through several weeks of visiting. Finally, I realized that I wasn't really getting too far with him. He was very open. He wanted to talk about God, but he just couldn't hold on to anything. And I said, you know what, Ed? I think I understand something. There's a first step that you need to take. And if you would be willing to take this step, God, by his Spirit, will open your mind, and the things I'm telling you will make a lot more sense. And so I gave him a little card that has a prayer for salvation on it, to repent of your sins, invite Jesus into your heart, ask for his cleansing from his blood on your soul, and make a commitment to follow him. He read the card and he looked at it, and he looks at me, he gives me this stern look and goes, so this is like the magic prayer. If I pray this thing, then I'm going to heaven, right? I said, it is not magic, but if your heart is right, you will find peace with God. Mm-hmm. And so he set the card down, he started talking about other things, and it was another probably 2 months of visiting. And the neat thing, though, is God put him in a room right next to where we had the Bible study. and so the Bible study was in a group, you know, like a large, like a dining room area. And so we have a sound system, and we're singing old hymns. And he asked, hey, can I have one of the old hymn books, you know, one of the hymn books to follow along? So we have these giant print hymns, and he's able to follow along and sing from his room. We couldn't hear him, but he could hear us. And then after the singing, we pass out a paper that has the scriptures on that we're going to talk about that day. So he always wanted one of those too. One time I went in his room, there was five verses on it. They're in giant print, and there's five verses, and he looks at it and he says, I agree with everything on this paper except for the first four. And I says, wow, well, at least you agree with one. But anyway, through time, Ed, hearing the word of God, hearing the songs and the prayers that we prayed, I went in his room one day, and the prayer card was on his table. He says, hey, look at that. So I picked up the prayer card. Oh, I got to tell you one other thing. On the back of the prayer card, there's a thing where it says, on this day, I prayed this prayer. And then write your name. So I pick up the card, and I'm looking at it. And in his antagonistic voice, he goes, well, turn it over. I turn it over, and his name and date was on that card.
Wow.
And I said, Ed, did you really mean this? And he said, yes. He said, I want to be a Christian. I said, welcome, brother, to the kingdom of heaven. And
wow.
It was from that time on, it was miraculous. It wasn't like he was still somewhat antagonistic, but his heart began to soften. And he began to understand the scriptures that we were sharing. God did open his heart. Now, interesting thing, maybe another 3 or 4 months later, I just had this strong inkling to go visit him on the weekend. We usually come in on Tuesdays, and I came in on the weekend, Saturday, and he was in a different room because he was dealing with some other issues. And I came in, and he goes, hey, it's not Tuesday. I said, I know, I just wanted to come and visit you. He was so touched by that, and he prayed with me some more. He had me read scripture. We got just a beautiful time. And then the next week I went in there and he was in heaven.
Wow.
Like, he lives his time. And what a beautiful friendship we had, though. And I look forward to spending more time with him. I don't think he'll be as antagonistic in heaven.
What would you say are some of the most challenging things that you face that God cares?
There is a lot of issues with COVID. The main issue is that we are not permitted to go into the buildings. But, you know, we spent some time in prayer, and we said, God, what do we do? You know, the residents need the word of God, and we're locked out. And we are the carriers, the ambassadors of Christ. We carry the word of God in and share it as the residents have an openness. So he put on our mind to create what we call scripture handouts. We call them words of encouragement and comfort handouts. And what we do is we put those on our website. The activity director, we contact them and say, you can download these for free. They can download them, copy them, and pass them out to the residents. And my understanding, based on what they've been telling us, is the residents love them. They look forward to these handouts. Wow. Oh, and on the back of the handout, we have a word puzzle. And the answers to the word puzzle are in the scriptures. So the residents really enjoy doing that little work. And so we have activity directors passing these out to sometimes everyone in the home. They sometimes give them to the staff. They themselves have been encouraged by it. And you see, they have a responsibility to provide spiritual care. But not all of them are even believers. They don't know how to find scriptures and do things from the Bible and help them grow in Christ. So these handouts have been a godsend to them, and they have just so much appreciated it. So
what challenges in general?
Oh, well, I would just say from the challenge of COVID, God has turned that into a real blessing. And I would say we've reached more residents during COVID than we have even prior to it, because he's been so good. Well, he does work all things for the good of those who love him. And we love him, and we ask him what to do. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your steps. And so we do that. And he's kind, and he's gracious. And he gives us what we need. But I would say, Timothy, one of the challenges that's the biggest challenge. I've been doing this. I've been visiting personally for well over 30 years. You know, the ministry has been established in 1994, so 26 years. The hardest thing is to see that there are an excessive amount of churches who will not embrace this mission field as a responsibility to serve in. We talk to pastors, we talk to other church leaders, and everybody is busy with something else. And you know what? Nursing home ministry, care home ministry is not the only ministry out there. I understand that. But there is a significantly disproportional focus on youth and young adults than there is on the senior adults who built the churches that they're in.
Yes.
And I get very concerned that, you know, Matthew 25, Jesus says, whatever you did to one of the least of these, you did to me.
Right.
Many times we stop there because that's a encouragement for those of us who are serving. But Jesus also said, whatever you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do to me. And I think that we need to see both sides of that coin, because I don't think it's a small thing, because the very next thing he says is, away from me, you evildoers.
Yes.
Now, I am not here to accuse or say any pastor doesn't do what I think is wrong or anything like that. But I think we need to take those verses to heart and just say, God, what does this mean for my church, for me personally, for my small group, for my home group or whatever? And just follow the Holy Spirit as he leads.
Can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, we wrote a couple books. One of the books that we wrote is, we call it a handbook. It's, if you've been a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, you had a handbook.
Oh, yeah.
And in that is a overview of many things that you need to know or can know to help you be effective in the ministry. So we wrote Nursing Home Ministry, Where Hidden Treasures Are Found. And that is to help the volunteer understand how to be effective in the ministry. It's everything from one-on-one visitation, group services like Bible studies and worship services, how to help somebody who has dementia, which, by the way, Tim, dementia, yes, there are challenges with it, but the Spirit of God can break through dementia. And there's a way to approach it. There's a way to share with a resident. I'm not saying it's no problem. It is a challenge, but you can do so much more than meets the eye if you just have a little bit of understanding how the Word of God can break through dementia. And wow. So that's another thing that's in the book and in our seminars. There's other things about how to recruit a team and just various things to help a church outreach develop and have a thriving, fruitful outreach. So that's one. I do have another book, though, that we wrote a few years ago called God Cares for You. It is a ministry book. It's a very large print with color pictures. And in that book is seven chapters that focus on seven of the primary needs and concerns that senior adults have. And it's written primarily for those who live in a care home, but it kind of crosses over on any senior adult's turf because it focuses on change, loss, the need for hope, the need for a relationship with God, the need for blessing the relationship with people, sometimes getting through broken relationships, the need for peace, purpose, and then a perspective of heaven that is very encouraging and life-giving. I think that people need to understand that God is not a giant judge with a big stick looking for you to blow it. Actually, he loves us very much, and he left nothing undone that was necessary to get us into heaven. And it obviously is through his son Jesus, but it's also up to us to surrender to him. And throughout that book, there is a call to that place of surrender to Jesus so that they can have the hope that he came to give us.
Focusing especially on the training manual, how would a person go about getting that if they wanted to?
They can go to our website. That's one way. It's GodCaresMinistry.com.
Uh-huh.
If you go to GodCaresMinistry.com or call us at 440-930-2173. Either way, they can get to us and the book would be available to them.
Do you have that in audio format?
I do not have it in audio, unfortunately, but we do have it in text, and it's a little bit larger print too, for what it's worth. The listeners should know, we ask people to consider a donation towards the book. But if a person does not have the funds, we will send that book to them.
If a person wanted to donate to you, how would they do that?
Same thing. It would be either through our website or calling us at our office.
Okay. And what specific prayer needs do you have, lastly?
Well, Tim, I just want to thank you so much for asking that question, because I don't know if people realize you can probably build an organization with a lot of slick ideas, and I suppose that's happened. But this ministry is built by the grace of God, and prayer is equally, you know, we have three things that are needed: volunteers, finances, and prayer. Prayer is not on the bottom of the list. It's just kind of more like a circle. It all works together, and we need prayer to sustain us. And so I would just ask that the Lord would continue to send forth workers for the harvest field so that people can take the hand of Jesus and be with him. And the second prayer is that God's kingdom would come and his will be done in every care home.
Thank you so much, Bill, for being on. It's been an honor to have you. And I really appreciate that. And having done similar work, I can really relate to what you're saying. That's great. But thank you very much. And God bless you.
And God bless you, too. I so enjoyed sharing with you.
Thank you.
You've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.